This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. In politics, it seems we talk a lot about Republicans and Democrats, conservatives versus liberals. And later in the hour, we're going to talk about how that affects the way we communicate about issues that affect us all. But before we do that, let's turn away from the red versus blue. And instead, let's turn to Lawrence Porter. He is Assistant National Secretary of the Socialist Equality Party here in Michigan. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi, how are you today, Zoe?
I'm well. So, you know, I don't know how many in Michigan actually know that your party exists. What are you doing? Some concrete ideas here in Michigan.
Well, we've been actually very active in Michigan and in Detroit. In 2013, we did run a mayoral candidate who was a city worker.
Mm-hmm.
His name was D'Artagnan Collier, works for the city water department, and he got a sizable vote. We were involved in the fight against utility shutoffs. We set up an organization called CAUSE, Committee Against Utility Shutoffs. And in the last 3 years, we were particularly involved in a fight against the bankruptcy of Detroit and the water shutoffs that have been carrying out.
Something that I would say a lot of Democrats have also been against in Detroit, talking, you know, about the fact that maybe a bankruptcy didn't need to happen. Help me understand how the Socialist Equality Party might be different in that aspect.
There's major difference. The way it was presented was that the bankruptcy was part of the imposition of a Republican governor, Governor Snyder, who bought in an emergency manager and then took the city into bankruptcy. However, if you examine what took place in actuality, behind the scenes, it was a mutual agreement between large sections of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party to have the emergency manager and to take the city into bankruptcy. President Obama supported the bankruptcy. They also supported in a backhanded way, the emergency manager. The mayor at that time of Detroit, Mayor Bing, met with the potential emergency manager candidate, Kevin Orr, before he was bought in. He approved him. He worked with Governor Snyder. This is all behind the scenes. And this is something we brought out in a hearing, an investigative hearing into the bankruptcy.
Lawrence, many will say that, look, Detroit was sort of at its bottom, that something had to be done, something had to be changed, even those who maybe weren't totally for the bankruptcy, but that there needed to be some drastic action. What do you, you know, what would your party have done? Let's say if your candidate for mayor had won, how would Detroit's huge debts and huge issues in terms of blight and crime in the school system, what would your party have done?
Well, the issue really is who controls the resources of our society and how are those resources allocated? If you look at the statistics, the majority of the population in the state of Michigan opposed the emergency manager law and voted it down in 2012 when they had the opportunity, and that was 73 out of 82 counties in the state. That's 89% of the counties in the state voted down the emergency manager law. So that wasn't just something opposed to in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the economic situation facing workers, you've had now the growth, a massive growth of inequality that's followed nationally down to the local level. And what we were opposed to with the bankruptcy was, in fact, that the reorganization was a part of that redistribution of wealth from the bottom to the top.
Mm-hmm.
What they wanted to do was to eliminate the pensions, which were constitutionally guaranteed of Detroit workers, and also their health care benefits. And the only way they could do that was through the building, through some type of emergency measures. And this is why they carried out the bankruptcy.
Lawrence, you know, I guess, you know, we hear folks talk about this, and I think there is a lot of support, right? Feelings that corporate interests, big organizations, the 1%. I mean, we know if you just look at the economy holding more and more wealth, I mean, it's just sort of mind-numbing How much wealth? Again, of course, we saw the Occupy Wall Street protests. There's a lot of interest in folks like Elizabeth Warren. And yet those candidates, the mayoral candidate, Elizabeth Warren, who's saying, you know, she's not going to run for president, it doesn't seem quite like enough of the population is hearing that message. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, things change through some time. But I think that what's beginning to happen is that people are going through shocks. You take, for example, the 2008 crash in the economy. Well, most people, of course, didn't expect that. But the major economists did. And they created the conditions whereby the economy crashed in 2008 through massive speculation. Since then, you've had the people who created the crash have been very, very well compensated. You've had the Federal Reserve, the TARP program, which has now flushed money to the top 1% enormously, while the majority of the population has suffered declines. So what's beginning to happen in Detroit, I mean, Detroit was a major manufacturing city which had one of the highest living standards of workers in the entire country. Most workers, in fact, own their own homes. This is something that they want out of enormous struggles. What's beginning to happen now is you have now a failure taking place of the entire system. It's really interesting because if they were to say this is socialism, that you have now 39% of the population which is in poverty and that 33% are in extreme poverty, you would say the system failed. But what's really happening is that you have a failure of our system. 50 years ago, the government claimed that they were going to eliminate poverty, that in America all boats would rise when all wealth rose. You have the exact opposite now taking place. Yeah. In order for them to get that wealth today, because of the nature of our economy, it's not the same as it was before with manufacturing. It's now through speculation, you know, through the financial oligarchy and the stock market.
And yet again, what we're getting at is this idea that socialism, right, it doesn't necessarily have the best rap. It comes, of course, with history and some negative connotations. But, you know, even when we talk about President Obama, right, the socialist president, that it's used as an insult and something bad. How do you change that narrative?
Well, of course, we know that President Obama is not a socialist. He's got more support from Wall Street than any other president in history. The truth of the matter is that many young people, especially, are now becoming more and more open to socialism. Polls have shown that the majority favor socialism or some type of social redistribution rather than capitalism. And look at the reasons why. You know, you have now, and I think 35% of the young people today have debts coming out of college of $35,000 and higher. You now have many young people who have seen nothing but wars. In the last 25 years, you've had a constant series of wars. Socialism, what it really represents is, of course, equality, genuine equality and better conditions for the majority and not based on private ownership and for wealth. Now, the majority of the population feels that way, but they have no say-so. They have no voice. If you were to ask most people, do you agree with these wars, they would say no. You have now one F-35 Strider jet that costs $200 million. It's amazing. You know, Detroit's debt for its water is $22 million. Just stop the production of a fighter jet. You know, you can pay off Detroit's debt 10 times over.
And yet I'll go back to that point, though, that we haven't quite seen that breaking point of, you know, the populace stepping up. And again, like I said, there's the Elizabeth Warrens, of course, you know, Bernie Sanders now jumping into the presidential race. We saw Occupy Wall Street, but it doesn't seem like quite anything is changing. Do you see a tipping point, a point where folks really say enough is enough?
Well, I don't know where the tipping point will develop, Zoe, but one thing is for sure, and is that, you know, there's a reason why they're bringing in the Bernie Sanders and the Elizabeth Warrens. People are now talking about socialism because, in fact, capitalism has not offered and is not offering a way forward for large sections of the population. I mean, you now have, I mean, every day now, young men are being killed, you know, by the police and so forth and so on. It's now becoming a real social problem. And the vast devastation is taking place for the majority of the population. Another statistic I saw said one out of every six people in this country are facing either poverty or near poverty. One out of every six in America, you know, the wealthiest country in the world. So what is the tipping point? I don't know. I don't know, but you have now, without question, an enormous black eye being given to capitalism. Because if you talk about unemployment, if you're talking about jobs, if you're talking about social decay, then you're automatically talking about capitalism. And that is not a situation where they're offering. Who's offering a better conditions for working people today? I haven't heard anyone. And that's one of the reasons why they're bringing out people like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is not a socialist. He's a Democrat. He calls himself a democratic socialist every once in a while, but they particularly want to bring him out now.
Of course, though, he is an independent in the Senate.
Yeah. But there's a reason why he's now coming out to run, and that is they want to use him as a lightning rod. They need someone at least to give the appearance that something is going to be done to help people. And that's also the reason why they bought out Obama. I mean, he's the first black president. The idea was, for many people, they were given the illusion that he was going to help them. He was going to help create better conditions after the disastrous Bush years and all the rest. But it turned out to be just the opposite. And I think those illusions, those false hopes, are now beginning to look more deeply at what the social conditions, what the social relations really are in our society.
Lawrence Porter is Assistant National Secretary of the Socialist Equality Party. Lawrence, based in Southeast Michigan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.